Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
So if you were listening earlier, you will have heard us talking to Niall Collins, the Fianna Fáil TD and Minister of State, about what was happening in Roskilde yesterday. Very concerned about it, wants the Gardaí to use all of their powers. And I asked him about what Councillor Kevin Sheehan said. He was very keen that the Gardaí should use all of their powers, including using their batons if they needed to. And Niall Collins agreed with that. He also agreed with the suggestion that this came from Adam Teskey, that the Minister for Justice go to Roskilde and see for himself what's happening there. And Simon Harris, the Justice Minister, has issued a statement on the incidents in Roskilde, which I have here now. He says the scenes in Roskilde yesterday were absolutely unacceptable. The armed support unit was deployed rapidly, and I've been assured an enhanced policing presence will continue to be part of that policing plan over Christmas to ensure order is maintained in the town. Garda investigations are ongoing, and they've appealed to any witnesses to contact Roskilde Garda Station to make sure that those involved can be identified and prosecuted. So there is no commitment from the Justice Minister as yet to visit Roskilde, as the local representatives seemed to want him to do, but he has issued that statement. Now, Women's Aid, the charity that provides support to women in domestic abuse situations, says that it has noticed an increase in calls, and that increase is connected to the cost of living crisis. And Sarah Benson is CEO of Women's Aid and is on the line now. Sarah, thank you for taking our call this morning. What are women saying in those calls to your helpline at the moment?
Hi, good morning, Claire, and to your listeners. Well, what we are hearing is increased reports of what we refer to as economic abuse. Now, that's always a very potent tactic used in domestic abuse situations, where you define domestic abuse as a pattern of behaviours which may include physical, emotional, psychological, sexual abuse, and usually a combination of some or all of those. But economic abuse is where money, access to goods, access to other resources like heat, light, are used and leveraged in a coercive and controlling way. And at the moment, with the cost of living crisis, that's something that we're hearing increasingly used. And it's affecting women in different ways if they are still in the relationship, which is abusive, or also post-separation, whereby, unfortunately, where there's coercive control, that coercive controlling behaviour can continue even when women try and get away from the situation. And economic abuse is a particularly, powerful tactic.
So talk to me a little bit about what happens in this regard when women are still in the relationship. How is that financial control exercised?
Well, in quite a variety of ways. I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, even though it's not really the kind of abusive tactic that we have front and centre in our minds. If you don't have access to money, if you don't have access to means, your options, your choices and your decisions are reduced proportionately. So that can be everything from women who may be in work but don't have access to their own salaries, where the salary is controlled by their abusive partner, or where they may be persuaded or coerced into giving up work, which makes them financially dependent. But it can also be used as a tool to kind of degrade and humiliate control. So we have women telling us that they are having to negotiate for very basic things like money to buy the shopping, money to buy sanitary products, things that actually are quite degrading. Where at the moment with the heating cost, where the only room in where the heat can be on is the room in which the abusive partner is, but it can't be on anywhere else. Mm-hmm. We couldn't control over how much petrol or diesel goes in the car, and that might be connected with how far she's allowed to go and the expected kinds of journeys she might take, which is a way of controlling her as well.
And then you mentioned that the abuse in a post-separation scenario can continue. And I'm focusing specifically now on financial control and coercive control using money, Sarah. So tell me a little bit about how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's we speak to thousands and thousands of women every year, and they are ingenious survivors. And many will try and escape the abuse by ending the relationship. But unfortunately, where you have ties that bind, particularly if you have children in common, that's not as easily done. And where economic abuse shows up the most is where there's non-payment of maintenance, even where it's court ordered. And particularly at this time of the year, with Christmas coming, those additional financial pressures, you know, expectations of little people, that's used to leverage, you know, so the money won't be paid. There's huge stress and concern that there won't be food on the table, that, you know, the things that the children are looking for won't be available. That can be countered then with, on Christmas Day, you know, he may show up with an extraordinarily expensive present that's only from him, and, you know, use it to create a very contrasting image. So terrible stress and anxiety at this time of the year in particular.
And we know, Sarah, that men can suffer from domestic abuse and violence, of course, as well. You, though, at Women's Aid are concerned with women who are experiencing this, and the lead up to Christmas can be stressful for all people, for everybody. But in an abusive relationship, it is a particularly difficult time.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, just to acknowledge, you know, it is true that the vast majority of domestic abuse is perpetrated against women and children in heterosexual relationships. But of course, it can happen in other relationships, including, you know, with men and LGBT communities. And we would, through our National Free Phone Helpline, also directly refer to our colleagues who run the Male Advice Line, for example, and LGBT Ireland. So just to say that up front. But where you have a very gendered dimension to domestic abuse, where women are more likely to be in part-time work, holding the burden of care. Like I say, you know, leaving can put them in a higher risk of poverty than their male counterparts. So this time of the year, it is really acute and difficult. But what we know is that women will be, we know that it'll be quite quiet, possibly, over the couple of days of Christmas. Although I would stress that we are there 24 hours a day, and we also can directly signpost to all of our colleagues around the country in the local services. But we'll see a spike after Christmas when the children go back to school, where, you know, it's like she's holding her breath all through Christmas just to try and manage and get through. And then there's this kind of deep exhalation where she might pick up the phone and she'll say, this was just the worst. It was just so hard to cope with. I had, you know, family around, trying to keep the peace, trying to make sure everything was OK, trying to keep, you know, the fuse from exploding, which in fairness, you can't do when you're not actually the one perpetrating the abuse. So it's an incredibly challenging situation, but we'll be there the whole way through. And we would also say to communities, to anyone out there, we know that the majority of those who suffer abuse, both domestic and sexual violence, will only the minority will actually reach out to a specialist service for lots of different reasons. So, you know, just to be mindful and vigilant of your loved ones. If you think they are having a tough time, it is the opportunity, you know, just to reach out and say you're there, ask how they are. It can be an opportunity to start a conversation which could be really transformative for somebody who needs a bit of support.
Well, Sarah, thank you very much for reminding us that Christmas is not a joyful time for lots of people, for lots of different reasons. And if anything Sarah has said has prompted you to want to have a conversation, the website is womensaid.ie, and the helpline, which as Sarah said will operate all over the Christmas period, is 1-800-341-900, 1-800-341-900, manned by some fantastic volunteers who are always there with a listening ear. And for more information on other helplines, you can go to rte.ie/helpline. Sarah Benson from Women's Aid, thank you for joining us. Back after this break.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.